Hello, everyone. Yes, yeah, Cindy has written brilliant lyrics and music. I totally agree. And Lynn has written home. And yeah, if you just sit and be still with Kirtana's music, you feel that home that she sings about. And of course, as you all know, Kirtana will be here in an hour for our monthly Awakening Together online satsang. Also, Lynn Johnson, speaking specifically to you. I will be wrapping up the seven steps teaching around 5 or 6 minutes early so that I can go get Kirtana on Skype. Will you be able to take the mic and maybe play another one of her songs while I get things set up with her? Thank you very much. All right. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome now for the seven steps to awakening. I am sharing with you from step 3 of those 7 steps, both from within the book that has been, the quotes have been collected and published by Michael Langford, but also within my journal, which is a journal of what I wrote as I contemplated these quotes. Primarily during 2012, I had some of you may remember a year of silence in 2012, and that is when I focused on the 7 steps to awakening. And I'm watching for a moment. Typically when I sit down and I start talking, Jamie's like, okay, I'm going outside. And I think she's wandering towards the door now, so I may need to let her out. So just one moment before we get started. Yeah, I understand you went outside. I'm coming. Yeah, she's not very interested in this teaching. As soon as I start talking, she always wants to go out. All right, so as I mentioned, I'm in step 3. And in case there's anyone here who's not familiar with what step 3 is, the purpose of step 3 is see how the imposter self perpetuates its imaginary self and all illusion and suffering. Of course, this would be talking about the ego. So again, the objective of step 3 of the 7 steps of awakening is to see how the imposter self perpetuates its imaginary self and all illusion or suffering. And of course, this is an important thing to see. Until we see this, we typically listen to that thought system or that voice that we call the ego. When we see, however, what it is and how it perpetuates itself, we start learning not to listen to it. Now, the quotes in this book are actually all quotes of different sages, primarily from India, if not all from India. I'd have to look more closely. And tonight, the quotes I'm starting with come from Sri Annamalai Swami. And it begins with quote number 560. Substratum, isn't that a word that's kind of used or similar to the word that's used in the Magdi quote today? The substratum upon which the false idea of the mind has been superimposed is the self. I'll read that sentence again. The substratum upon which the false idea of the mind has been superimposed is the self. When you see the mind, the self, the underlying substratum is not seen. Again, when you see the mind or when you focus on the mind, thinking mind, then the self, which is the underlying substratum, is not seen. It is hidden by a false but persistent idea. And conversely, when the self is seen, there is no mind. I love this quote very, very much. Don't be surprised if you find it as an Awakening Together daily quote someday. But what I'm going to do right now is I'm just going to read it one more time. And then after I read it, we will go and look at my journal. Again, Sri Annamalai Swami. The substratum upon which the false idea of the mind has been superimposed is the self. When you see the mind, the self, the underlying substratum, is not seen. It is hidden by a false but persistent idea. And conversely, when the self is seen, there is no mind. So let me give a link in the room for anybody who likes to read along with my journal. We're going to be looking at what I wrote for quote number 560, and it looks like I contemplated this in parts because we're looking at 560A first. If someone is listening on the radio and they want to join us in the journal, you go to http://RDA7, that is the digit 7, it is not spelled out, RDA7stepsjournal.wordpress.com. And once you get to the journal, across the top of the webpage, you will see step 1, step 2, and step 3. Just click on step 3 and then click on the numbering sequence that will allow you to find your way to 560, because that's what we're beginning with, 560A. And again, in the room, you have a direct link to 560A. So in the journal, oh yeah, I remember this. I remember this day very well. In the journal, I wrote, I keep seeing a log cabin from the inside. It appears dark because there are heavy pieces of quilt hanging over the windows. The sun is shining brightly, but it is blocked by the pieces of quilt. How does one fill the cabin with light? It's simple. Take down the quilt. So this image was coming to me as I was reading this quote by Sri Annamalai Swami, which talks about the mind as a false idea that's superimposed on the self. That would be like the quilt hanging over the windows. And of course, Sri Annamalai Swami said that, when we are listening to the mind, which is really a false but a very persistent idea, we are not aware of the self. And of course, the darkness in this cabin represents the mind, and we're not aware of the light outside. But he also says that, conversely, when the self is seen, there is no mind. Just like if we take those quilts down off the windows, the sun comes beaming in, there's no more darkness in the cabin, right? So this simple, simple image is what was coming to me as I contemplated quote number 560. And in fact, I'll read it one more time and then we'll go on to 560B. I keep seeing a log cabin from the inside. It appears dark because there are heavy pieces of quilt hanging over the windows. The sun is shining brightly, but it is blocked by the pieces of quilt. How does one fill the cabin with light? It's simple. Take down the quilt. All right, so if you're in the link with me, you can just scroll down underneath 560A. You'll see where it says related, 560B. You can just click on that, and that will take us over to 560B. And this is a continuation of the contemplation of the same quote. Mind, and this, of course, does not mean what A Course in Miracles would call the mind of God. That is completely different. And in fact, we'll talk a little bit about that tonight, probably, when we're contemplating the Magdi quote, because this is at least where the Magdi quote took me. A part of where it took me was seeing the difference again between what A Course in Miracles would call the mind of God and then the mind that we experience as humans. So it's only capitalized if you're looking at it because it's the first word in a sentence. But it is not the capital mind. This is referring to the human mind, the thinking mind. And it says mind, thinking about self and searching for self, does not reveal the light of self. Why? Because mind is the quilt. Take down the quilt. So this is an extremely interesting quote, and probably it applied to me much more in 2012 than it does today. But in 2012, I imagine that is when I was going through a time of spending a lot of time thinking about the self. You know, I was literally, like, while I was doing dishes, taking walks, I was thinking about the self. In a way, it's very hard to describe because there's contemplation of the self, which is extremely helpful. But I'm not referring to contemplation of the self. I'm referring to thinking about it in a very intellectual way, trying to figure out what it is, trying to in some way grasp it with the mind so that the mind could understand it. And searching for it, again, refers to searching for it so that the mind can grasp it, so that the mind can understand it, so that the mind can say, I know it, I've got it, I'm enlightened, right? And what this is saying is mind thinking about self and searching for self does not reveal the light of self. Why? Because mind is the quilt. So as mind reaches, struggles to understand truth, you know, it asks all these metaphysical questions and tries to understand all the metaphysical answers and, you know, tries in whatever way it can to get a grasp on truth, that actually strengthens the ego. That actually keeps the quilt hanging in the window and keeps the inside of the cabin dark, keeps the light out. And most of us, if not all of us, seem to start this spiritual path with that attempt at mental understanding, with that attempt at mental achievement. But at some point, we all come to realize that the mind is the obstacle. And resting the mind, not using the mind, relaxing the mind is what's important. This morning during the Awakening Together gathering, I think it was actually during the announcements portion of the gathering, I talked about the way I am when I'm in the presence of clarity. When I am in the presence of clarity, whether it's, you know, the clarity of my own mind, my own awareness, or whether it's, you know, like listening to a speaker who has great clarity or reading a book that has great clarity, right? When I'm in the presence of clarity, I mentioned I do not think about it. I don't think about things like, do I agree with this or do I not agree with this? You know, sometimes the mind seems to imply that I need to think about it. And if I don't think about it, I will forget everything I'm hearing or reading. I won't be able to digest it. But that's only referring to digesting it mentally. And what I mentioned this morning is I prefer to just be like a sponge, and I'm really trusting that something beyond the mind is soaking in what needs to be soaked in. Like this awakening business is not the mind's business. So I just set and I be, and I know that this works. I know that this works. Because I won't be able to mentally remember. If someone says, you know, well, what did she say? You know, I saw you were listening to so-and-so in the sanctuary. What did she say? You know, if you ask me that, you're going to get, oh, gosh, I don't really remember. And it's going to seem like I wasn't paying attention. But there was no attempt at mentally remembering. But I know that what is supposed to happen is happening because I can see my own transformation occurring. I can see my own clarity arising, and I know that it's happening because I expose myself to clarity and I allow that clarity to do its own job on me without the mind getting involved. And so that's what this particular journal entry, 560B, is about. Mind, thinking about self and searching for self, does not reveal the light of self. Why? Because mind is the quilt. Take down the quilt. Someone just wrote to me today about a teacher. They read something that this teacher said that they do not agree with. And they wrote to me wanting to know if I agreed. And so I read what they had read. And, you know, there were some things in the article that I did not agree with. There's no doubt about that. And there were things in the article that I did agree with. And so I wrote back to the person and I answered their question. But what I noticed was I couldn't read the article right away and answer the question right away because I had to read the article from a perspective that I don't usually read from the perspective of, do I agree or do I disagree? You know, even that perspective, that involves the mind. Typically, I just read. And I trust, you know, I trust the grace, I trust the unseenness, I trust the awareness in me, or what you might call the Holy Spirit in me, to take what it is that I need and to digest it within me for me so that that becomes a part of my realization. And one thing that I told this person is I don't know that there's any teacher, that, you know, if I come to it with this agreement, disagreement mind, I don't know that there's any teacher that I'm in 100% agreement with. Because if we start coming at it with that agreement, disagreement mind, I think we can always find something to disagree with. But you know what? I think that agreement, disagreement mind is ego. And I don't think that's the way to listen. I don't think we have to even think about, do I agree or do I not, or do I disagree? We only have to be as we listen, and we let grace do its thing. And again, yeah, and Deva's quoting the Course, if you look for conflict or controversy, you will find it. Yeah, and that would be the agreement, disagreement mind. It sounds smart because it's the intellect doing it, but it really isn't necessary, not if you're trusting grace. You'll walk away, you might not even remember at all what you said, but if a shift was what was said, but if a shift was to occur because of your presence and listening, that shift will make itself known. You see, this awakening business is not the mind's business. It's the business of isness. Right? This awakening business is not the mind's business. It's the business of isness. And our job is simply to be. So, 560B. Mind, thinking about self, and searching for self does not reveal the light of self. Why? Because mind is the quilt. Take down the quilt. If you scroll down, we'll have to go all the way down underneath the comment and reply area. You'll find where it says 560C, and you can click on that. And this starts with another analogy. Self is like a piece of paper. Ego and its world are like a complex, very artistic drawing on the paper. The paper is always present. But when one is focused on the drawing, the paper is not seen. Or maybe it would be better to say the paper is not noticed. I mean, I'm sure you all know that when you look at a really, you know, magnificent drawing that someone has done on a piece of paper, you're like, wow, that's amazing. Look at how you drew the eyes and the eyelashes. They look so real. The paper is not even noticed, right? You know, and that's what this particular quote is saying from Sri Annamalai Swami. He says, when you see the mind, the self, the underlying substratum is not seen. When you see the complex drawing, the paper is not seen. That doesn't mean it's not there. In fact, you couldn't have the drawing if you didn't have the paper. And Annamalai Swami is really saying the same thing. He's saying you couldn't have the ego if you didn't first have the self. Again, listen to this quote. The substratum upon which the false idea of the mind has been superimposed is the self. Right? The self is the paper. And so 560C says, self is like a piece of paper. Ego and its world are like a complex, very artistic drawing on the paper. The paper is always present. But when one is focused on the drawing, the paper is not seen. And you can scroll down all the way underneath the comment and reply area, and we'll click on 560D. This brings it all together. How does one take down the quilt? Remove attention from the drawing and place attention on the always present paper. And again, 560D only makes sense after looking at both the log cabin and the drawing analogy. But how does one take down the quilt? Remember, the quilt is the mind. It blocks the light of self. Remove attention from the drawing, which is the ego and its world, and place attention on the always present paper. Seems to me that we should just go ahead and do that right now. So it really doesn't matter what the mind's saying. The mind could be saying anything right now. If you are paying attention to me, I know just because you're in the room doesn't mean your attention is here. You could be reading a website. You could be talking to someone else that's in the room with you. But if you're one of those who is paying attention and you have heard this teaching, well, then maybe your mind is thinking about this teaching. Maybe your mind has opinions about this teaching, judgments about this teaching, whether they be positive judgments or negative judgments. Well, that would be the quilt. So what we're being asked to do right now is just to let go of whatever the mind is thinking. And I do that with an inner rest. An inner rest that releases whatever's in the mind. Because really, we're actually holding on to anything in the mind that we're thinking. There's a holding on process that happens. And so if you really relax enough, it kind of just floats away. And then when the thoughts float away, just notice what's here. That substratum. You know, people often use the word awareness. Just notice what's here. No thought. Presence is another word. Self is most definitely another word. How does one take down the quilt? Remove attention from the drawing and place attention on the always present paper. A couple of years ago, I became familiar with a teacher named Bentino Massaro. And at that time, what Bentino was recommending in his teaching was taking these breaks. I don't remember his exact wording, but the idea was to take these breaks. It seems like he used to say 2 to 5 seconds. You know, multiple times a day, just to be with that awareness. To turn your attention away from the drawing and place it with the paper. Away from the mind and with the substratum that allows even the mind to be. That's a wonderful, wonderful practice. In fact, the other day I posted on my Facebook page. You can probably still find it there if you scroll down a bit. But I posted on my Facebook page a question from a seeker to Liz Cronkite. And the way Liz Cronkite answered was basically recommending this exact same practice. Just, I don't remember her words, but it was the same practice, focusing on the isness, the awareness, the beingness, the substratum, that which is here always, and doing it multiple times a day. That's what she recommended. And by the way, since I just mentioned Bentino Massaro, I might as well tell you that I chatted with him a couple days ago over email, and he has agreed to be here for our September Awakening Together Satsang, which will be the third Sunday in September. Let me grab that date real quick. It'll be right after the Santa Barbara Satsang, the weekend after the Satsang. So the Santa Barbara Satsangs are the Awakening Together Satsang Retreat is September 12 to 14. And then the Soak in the Beauty is September 14 to 18. And then that following Sunday, September 21, Bentino Massaro will be here. So you could go ahead and mark your calendars. Of course, we'll be announcing that again. And if there is sound, could someone please let Clara know? All right, so how does one take down the quilt? Remove attention from the drawing and place attention on the always present paper. And we can scroll down underneath the comment and reply area, and there's actually a 560E. So it sounds like I spent a lot of time contemplating this particular quote. We're all the way up to 560E. That means I sat in that chair a long time with this quote, just going deeper and deeper and deeper. The mind is the quilt and the drawing. Although the light of self always shines, it is blocked by the heavy threads of mind. Although the paper is always present, it isn't noticed when one is focused on the drawings of mind. And then some inquiry. What do I think about? Does that thinking have meaning that is more valuable to me than realizing self? And what I did on this particular day, August 14th, in fact, I'm sure I did it for 24 hours, was I always kept a spiral notebook nearby. And when I caught myself in mind, I actually went and wrote that down. And if I had my spiral notebook nearby, I have no idea what it was. I could even read to you what I was thinking about on August 14th, 2012. You know, there's always the problem of the day or the distraction of the day. And probably if I could find that notebook and I went back and read what was occupying my mind that day, I would just laugh because it has no interest now. But what's interesting is this is asking, first of all, what do I think about, which is why I would have gone around writing down what I caught myself thinking about. But then the second question is, does that thinking have meaning that is more valuable to me than realizing self? That's an excellent exercise. If anyone here wants to practice this exercise, I highly, highly recommend it. Even for 24 hours, you're going to find it extremely useful. Again, all you do is, you know, keep some paper somewhere within grasp. And whenever you catch yourself thinking, write down what it is you were thinking about, whatever the problem of the day or the distraction of the day is, write it down. But then look right at it after you write it down and ask yourself, does that have meaning that is more valuable to me than realizing self? And if you practice this fully, fairly consistently, what's going to happen is you're going to lose interest in your mind's stories because they aren't more valuable to you than realizing self. And so it's a wonderful way to help you lose interest. And losing interest is the same as starting to unpin that quilt and take it down. It's the same as turning your attention from the drawing to the paper. So again, 560E says, the mind is the quilt and the drawing. Although the light of self always shines, it is blocked by the heavy threads of mind. Although the paper is always present, it isn't noticed when one is focused on the drawings of mind. And then the exercise. What do I think about? Does that thinking have meaning that is more valuable to me than realizing self? And now we can scroll down underneath the comment and reply area, and we will click on 561A. All right, so before I read 561 from my journal, of course, I will read the quote. This is a bit long. It's a paragraph is really what it is. It's a paragraph. So here's the quote. Realizing the self is the only useful and worthy activity in this life. So keep the body in good repair till that goal is achieved. First of all, I love that particular quote. You know, often when I'm traveling around the country talking to people, probably nearly every time, somebody asks some kind of question about, should I care for the body? You know, should I take my medicine? Should I, you know, pay attention to what I eat in any way? Should I go to the doctor? You know, should I exercise? Should I give? You know, what we would consider, what people in the world would consider common sense attention, not obsessive attention, but common sense attention to the body. And whenever people ask that question, I always give them a couple different things as the answer. One is I ask them if they take care of their car, if they get their oil changed, put gas in it, that type of thing, and they always do. And so I ask, well, if you take care of your car, why wouldn't you take care of the body? But then the other thing I do is I quote the first part of this quote. I tell them, I didn't remember that it was Annamalai Swami. I didn't remember who I had read the quote from. I just told them it was an Indian sage. But I said, there's an Indian sage that, and of course I didn't quote it perfectly, I said, there's an Indian sage that points out that, you know, letting go of ego is our purpose. And actually, this may even be a slightly different quote. Letting go of ego is dying before the body dies, right? The self dies, the false self dies before the body dies. Therefore, what we need to do is take care of the body until the ego dies, right? So the ego dies first. And that makes sense, right? Dying before you die, but then let's take care of the body so that it lives until that dying happens, that belief in I, the separate self. So again, this quote starts, realizing the self is the only useful and worthy activity in this life. So keep the body in good repair till that goal is achieved. Afterwards, the self will take care of everything and you won't have to worry about anything anymore. In fact, you won't be able to, because the mind that previously did the worrying, the choosing and the discriminating will no longer be there. In that state, you won't need it and you won't miss it. That's another interesting confusion that happens, you know, as we study non-dual teachings. You know, and especially as we study teachings like A Course in Miracles that, you know, has us repeat over and over again as we're going through the workbook, I am not a body. Right? I am not a body. And then there's some kind of a guilt that comes in. It's not a sane response to A Course in Miracles, but it seems to be a response that happens to a lot of people. There's some kind of a guilt that comes in, like if I want to take care of my body, I'm bad because I'm not a body. right? So if I want to take care of my body, I must be bad. If I want to eat right, if I want to exercise, there's this guilt that comes. And I call that course insanity. And it doesn't really come from the course. It comes from the ego's interpretation of the course. But it arises when we read the course. It wasn't there before. Before you read the course, you probably did not feel guilty about eating right or exercising. And then somehow in the process of repeating over and over again, I am not a body, that guilt began to happen. Right? So what's really interesting, though, is that sometimes what we want to do is we want to act all enlightened. Maybe that's not even our intention. We're just intending to practice what we think the Course is teaching. And so we start ignoring common sense habits about the body. You know, like I've heard people say, well, if I'm not a body, I should be able to only eat junk food and still get all the nutrition I need, as an example. Jasmine's giggling. I think that's her goal in life. Yep, she says. Well, the problem is, okay, if we listen very carefully to this quote, the problem is the mind, not go to the doctor, not go to the dentist. Thank you, Lynn. Those are the other examples. The problem is the mind that is making these decisions is still the wrong mind. It is the wrong mind that is guiding us to ignore common sense. You know, I've heard of people, I heard a story of someone driving his car with his eyes closed because Holy Spirit should drive it for him. Jasmine's laughing. Even she knows better than that. Yes.
Sorry.
I've heard of people crossing the street without looking because Holy Spirit should protect them. It is the wrong mind that guides us to ignore that common sense. Now, what's really interesting, if we listen to this quote, this is saying, keep the body in good repair till the goal is achieved. Keep the body in good repair until you realize self. And then it says, after you realize self, you won't have to worry about it because everything will be taken care of. But notice it says, after you realize self. And what's happening is people are trying to act that way when the ego is still in control. Yeah, so a spiritual bypass. Yeah, and also hardly anyone today thinks this way if they understand the course. I agree. Once a depth of understanding occurs, those early insanities pass. But we all know those insanities, and we may even experience them a little bit from time to time still. You know, when we get sick, you know, I notice a lot of people when they get sick immediately start feeling a little bit of guilt and thinking, oh my God, I need to heal the mind. Something's wrong with me. I'm sick. You know, when what I hear in this advice, well, if you're sick, go to the doctor. If the doctor prescribes some medicine or prescribes rest and liquids, do that. You know, live in that common sense way until the self is realized. After the self is realized, you won't even have to think about it anymore. Everything then occurs naturally. But right now, we don't want to deny the fact that we still have that obstacle, that wrong-minded thinking, that confusion called the ego. To deny that is foolish, and it can lead to extremely foolish behavior. So do follow those practices that we all know are common sense practices. Yeah, Lynn says Jesus calls it an unworthy form of denial, denying the body. Yeah, it's an unworthy form of denial, not at all helpful. It actually just leads deeper into confusion because it's listening to confusion's voice. So again, Annamalai Swami says, realizing the self is the only useful and worthy activity in this life. So keep the body in good repair till that goal is achieved. I remember reading about another Indian sage. I don't remember his name either. But he used to get up every morning and swim 5 miles and then meditate. Now, probably the swimming helped him to wake up from his night's sleep, but he also knew that his body needed exercise. So he'd get up every morning and swim 5 miles, And then he pretty much spent the rest of the day in meditation. But swimming 5 miles, that's really taking good care of the body, right? Realizing the self is the only useful and worthy activity in this life. So again, the focus isn't on taking care of the body. I mean, I used to have that mindset. I had that mindset that I wanted to keep the body really, really healthy so that I could be as young as possible for as long as possible, because that was my salvation. And that would be an incorrect emphasis, right? That's an incorrect emphasis. Or trying to be as skinny as possible so I could be as attractive as possible, because that is my salvation. That's an incorrect emphasis. Notice again that Annamalai Swami starts realizing the self is the only useful and worthy activity in this life. I'll say that 3 times. Sometimes it's good to just really hear something. Realizing the self is the only useful and worthy activity in this life. Realizing the self is the only useful and worthy activity in this life. Very much like A Course in Miracles statement, a miracle worker's only responsibility is to accept the atonement for himself, right? Yeah, realizing the self is the only useful and worthy activity in this life. So, because that is true, keep the body in good repair till the goal is achieved. Afterwards, the self will take care of everything, and you won't have to worry about anything anymore. In fact, you won't be able to, because the mind that previously did the worrying, the choosing, and the discriminating will no longer be there. In that state, you won't need it, and you won't miss it. So let's go look at my journal. It looks like I contemplated this in parts as well. And I think it looks like my contemplation went beyond care of the body. I went much, much deeper as I contemplated this quote. 561A says, as long as there appears to be a decision maker, make wise decisions. To me, that means about everything. You know, that would be wise financial decisions. Like, I have heard people say, you know, the world is not real, the laws of the world does not apply to me, so I don't need to pay my bills. That doesn't hit me as wise. That hits me as pretty soon you're going to be kicked out of your apartment. Your electricity is going to be turned off, you know? So, as long as there appears to be a decision maker, make wise decisions. I'm really talking about, when I say make wise decisions, because this is me talking to me, by the way. When you read my journal, this is me talking to me. But I know what I mean by wise decisions. I have a guiding intuition, which I often call common sense, or I used to call horse sense. In fact, the symbol, before I was on the spiritual path, I used to try and talk to people about my guiding intuition. And the symbol I always used was Jed Clampett on the Beverly Hillbillies. Do you remember Jed Clampett? He had no education at all. In fact, they all thought Jethro was great because he made it all the way to the 6th grade. Do you remember? But if you pay close attention to Jed Clampett, he was wise. He had this common sense, this horse sense, right? In a way, he didn't know anything. He was completely uneducated. He misinterpreted everything he saw. He called a swimming pool a cement pond. But yeah, he always had that level head. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's a good picture of what I'm talking about. So when I say, as long as there appears to be a decision maker, make wise decisions. You know, Jed Clampett, I'm sure, would look both ways before he crossed the street. If he drove, I don't remember if he did, I'm sure he drove with his eyes open. Oh yeah, he drove that truck, remember? I'm sure that he paid his bills, right? I'm sure that he ate well, as he knew to eat well, right? If he was sick, he probably at least asked Granny. I think Granny was his doctor. He asked Granny to look at him. Just common sense. So as long as there appears to be a decision maker, make wise decisions. That is the first thing that I wrote as I contemplated this particular quote that we've just looked at. If you scroll down underneath the comment and reply area, you can click on 561B. Now this is really important. Realize the decision maker isn't real. It isn't true. Illusion only. And make wise decisions also. One does not cancel out the other. You know, people often talk about paradox. And this is one thing that makes spiritual teaching or spirituality so hard to talk about, because it can be so easily misunderstood if it's listened to with the thinking mind. Of course, you know, when I began this hour, I talked about listening without the thinking mind, right? I said this process is not the thinking mind's business. Just be, and that which you are to realize, you know, grace will make sure that it gets within you, right? But often we listen with the thinking mind. And so once we hear an idea like make wise decisions, you could say we take that too far and we start paying too much attention to our mind. And the mind is getting all caught up in listing pros and cons and what will he think of this and what will she think of this and how will this affect my future. And we're using the mind in a way that is not at all helpful to awakening. Again, when I was talking about making wise decisions, I was talking about what I call good old horse sense, you know, Jed Clampett kind of knowing. It's not all this thinking. So we need something that helps us balance out the error of thinking we're supposed to think about everything and make wise decisions, because that's not true. So this quote says, realize the decision maker isn't real, it isn't true, illusion only, and make wise decisions also. What this says to me, and remember the journal is me talking to me, this is telling me to de-emphasize the mind and yet make wise decisions rather than really using the mind. De-emphasize the mind and make wise decisions. So I'm not going to spend a ton of time thinking about what I'm going to do on my vacation next week. Jasmine and I are going to Washington, D.C. for a few days, and I'm not going to spend a ton of time thinking about what we're going to do, the best way to plan out when we do what, to make sure we fit everything in and see everybody we want to see. But when we get there, there will just be this feeling, you know, okay, do this, do this, do this, and we'll follow it. But, here's another but. I do know that the place that Jasmine most wants to go to is the Holocaust Museum. And I also know, just because I've been there before, that the Holocaust Museum is one of the most popular museums in the D.C. area. And if you go sometimes, you can't get in because they only let so many people in an hour. And if you just show up, you can't get in. So I know that it's advantageous to go ahead and get tickets in advance. And so I made that wise decision. And last week or a couple weeks ago, I went online and I got our tickets for Friday between 1 and 2 to enter the Holocaust Museum. The rest is unplanned. Nor is it being thought about. You see how there's like some balance there. Just like it's a wise decision if you know that you need to get on a plane and go somewhere, to go ahead and buy that plane ticket. Because if you just show up at the airport, you know, most planes nowadays are full. In fact, one friend told me a story. This is a few years ago, so it's an old story. But there was another friend who was, I'm going to say, acting, very enlightened, acting in this foolish way that we've discussed tonight. And because the Course says that something about a healed mind does not plan, he didn't want to plan anything, not any detail at all. And these two people needed to get together to do some kind of work together. And so the one friend tried to say something like, well, let's get together at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And the other friend was like, nope, a healed mind does not plan. Just, and like, well, are we going to get together at your house or my house? Nope, a healed mind does not plan. We'll just get together when it feels right. And so what the friend who told me the story said was when he felt like, okay, I'll go now, he got up and he drove over to the friend's house and knocked on the door, and the friend wasn't there. Do you know why? Because at the exact same time, that friend had left and driven over to his house, and they missed each other. Jasmine's giggling again. You see, she's a kid, and she knows when we're getting crazy. You know, it makes sense to make a plan. Okay, if we have to get this task done together, let's get together on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock at your house. You know? And that's what this is saying. Realize the decision maker isn't real. It isn't true. It's illusion only. But make these wise decisions also. Don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. Don't plan every detail of your life and constantly be thinking about the conversation you're going to have with so-and-so and what you're going to say. Heck, I don't even plan these teachings. I don't think about them a second, not a single second. All I do is look up which quote did I do last so I know where to start. You know, don't plan in that way. But yet there are other types of plans, but it's just common sense. You know, it's just common sense to make an appointment with the doctor. You don't just walk in and hope the doctor will see you, right? Unless it's an emergency, of course. So realize the decision maker isn't real. It isn't true, illusion only. And make wise decisions also. One does not cancel out the other. And if you scroll down, we actually only have 3 minutes left, and but we do have a 561C, so let's go ahead and have a look at it. I'll need to be leaving in a moment to go get Cortana, but let's look at 561C. When there is no more decision maker, there is no thought about what decisions to make. Until then, discern with wisdom and joyously make wise decisions, right? When there is no more decision maker, there is no thought about what decisions to make. Until then, discern with wisdom. I call it intuition. And joyously make wise decisions. Okay, and Kosai is asking, what if you need your mind for your job? That seems scary. Well, I definitely use my mind in my job. Not the obsessive mind though, but like if I'm doing financial stuff, you know, I pay attention to which column I'm putting the numbers in and which account I'm assigning things to, because that all has to be done in a very accurate way. So again, you know, this is where we get silly sometimes. The idea that I'm not supposed to use my mind in my job, you know, of course it's scary, because it's not sensical. It doesn't make sense. I do need to use my mind and my job to get my job done, but I don't need to obsess about what my boss thinks about this or what my coworkers are doing. This is what we're talking about. Finding that balance and living with that balance. So what I'm going to do right now is turn the mic over to Lynn, and I'm going to let Lynn play a Cortana song while I go and get Cortana. And I'll be back in about 5 minutes, and we'll talk to her. All right? See y'all soon.